Well, friends, if you could use just one word to describe how you are feeling right now, what would it be? I actually want you to share it with your neighbour. So tell your neighbour, one word, how do you feel? Well, I don't know about you, but when it comes to describing how I currently feel, I wonder whether you'd choose the same word as me, weary. Weary. That's how I feel a lot of the time. Weary, tired, worn out, exhausted. But that can just be life, can't it? We can feel stretched or run down or just like we're running out of puff. Sometimes we might hope that a good night's sleep will actually fix the problem, but it never seems to. My wife Megan can remember the last time that she had a good night's sleep. It was the 20th of May, 2005. The next morning, she went into labour, gave birth to our firstborn, and she's been weary ever since. We get weary so easily. And if that's you this morning, if that was the word that you used to describe yourself, welcome to 2 Thessalonians. We've been in this letter for the last few weeks, and before us stands the final chapter. 2 Thessalonians is a letter that's all about waiting. This short little letter written by the Apostle Paul to the fledgling little church in Thessalonica. Over these 3 weeks, together in this letter, we've been learning to wait well. Because Paul wanted to help them and to help us to wait well and to live in the light of the end. But waiting is hard. Waiting is messy. Waiting is frustrating, especially when you're weary. So let's jump into the passage and see what God has to say. The chapter we have before us, chapter 3, divides into 3 sections, I think. A prayer, a problem, and then a bit of a poke at the end that we all need to hear. Let's start with the prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honoured, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. We live in a world where wicked and evil people seem to rule, where not all have faith. And it's easy to be disturbed and upset by this. It feels like the world around us is uncoupling from its Christian moorings. And we've seen in the last few weeks in 2 Thessalonians, there is persecution and affliction and suffering on the rise. We live in an age of deception and rebellion and lawlessness. And it's easy for us to feel afraid or frustrated or even baffled sometimes by what we see going on around us. So what should we do about this? Do we retreat? Do we hunker down? Do we push back? Do we get angry? Do we advocate or petition or protest? No, Paul says, pray. Prayer has been in the arsenal of God's people for thousands of years. And he's saying, pray. Pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honoured, as has happened among the church of the Thessalonians. Notice what he's praying for. He's not just praying for us to be a little more evangelistic. He's not just praying that there would be more door knocking, of people going door to door, telling people about Jesus. He's not praying that someone would just take God's word and pass it on to somebody else. That all may be true and necessary, but he's really praying that the word of the Lord would be honoured, that it would be glorified. And friends, may it be honoured not just in new people, in new Christians, new disciples, in people who are hearing the good news of Jesus for the first time, but may it also be honoured in us. So how exactly did the Thessalonians honour the word of the Lord when it sped first to them? Well, this is what Paul writes in the first letter to the little church of the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 and 10, says this: For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. In these verses is a great little summary of how to respond to the good news of Jesus. Responding to Jesus means turning and serving and waiting. See, the Thessalonians used to be caught up in idol worship, the worship of statues that emphasized their worship of false gods. But when the word of the Lord sped to them, when they heard the good news of Jesus, when they heard that Jesus had died and was risen again, they turned. They turned away from those idols and they turned back to God himself. That's what repentance is. The way that we can honour the word of the Lord is by repenting. Repenting seems to be such a religious word, but it simply describes what is going on here. It's all about turning. Turning away from idols and turning instead to God. But of course, our idolatry is much more modern and sophisticated. You'd never catch any one of us bowing down to a little wooden statue. How embarrassing that would be, we think. No, our idols are much more sophisticated and subtle. Our idols are our careers and our superannuation balance. Our idols are our mortgages and our negatively geared investment properties. It's our hunger for security and stability in this world. Our idols are our businesses and our jobs and our recreational pursuits and our families. All good things, mind you, because the best idols often are. But when we take these good gifts from God, you know, our families, our work, our financial stability, and we sacrifice everything in pursuit of them, rather than God himself, friends, is that not idolatry? If we look to those things to protect us and to comfort us and to save us, is that not idolatry? You know, sure, we'd never be caught bowing down in front of statues of wood and stone like they did thousands of years ago, but at least back then they were more honest than we are. So what should we do with our sophisticated and modern idols? How do we honour the word of the Lord? Turn, friends. Turn away from those pursuits and turn back to God himself. Turn away from your pursuit of career and super and property and family and physical appearance and entertainment and identity and status. Friends, those things won't save you. Those things haven't died for you. Those things will only eat away at you and they will never satisfy. Turn instead to God himself. Turn instead to Jesus. Because he laid down his life for you and he dealt with your sin and he's given you life and he can save and he can satisfy and he does so eternally. So turn and serve. Serve the living and true God. Serve him with everything because he has served you everything. Serve in response to God's grace and mercy. Don't serve out of guilt. Don't serve to rack up points. Serve because he first served us. And wait. There it is again. Turn and serve and wait. Wait for his Son, the Lord Jesus from heaven, the one who's been raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. See, friends, that's how we can honour the word of the Lord. That's how the word of the Lord can be glorified in us. And friends, that is how the word of the Lord has spread and sped. It has spread all around the world and all the way down through time, all the way down to us, by people who've been honouring it and living it out. Out of their abundance, out of their growth, in an overflow of mercy and grace, it is passed on one to another. Even when the world is evil, even when the world is wicked, and even when not all have faith. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. See, friends, following Jesus means we are to wait in confidence and not grow weary, as he is faithful. The Lord is faithful. That's why prayer works. Prayer doesn't work because of our faith. The Christian life doesn't go up and down on our faithfulness because we're all over the shop. Christianity works because the Lord is faithful. And because the Lord is faithful, we can be men and women of confidence. We can wait well for Jesus, knowing that the faithful one will come through for us. And instead of being weary and losing heart, instead, may the Lord himself direct our hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. What a great prayer that is to pray. So pray that God's word would indeed speed ahead. Pray that it would be honoured. But especially pray that it would be honoured in us. And pray that the Lord would establish us and guard us against the evil one. Pray that we would have confidence in the Lord and what he has done for us. Pray that the Lord would direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Well, that's the prayer of 2 Thessalonians 3. Now, what about the problem? Verse 6. Now, we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you've received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labour we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Now the problem that we have before us, the problems that the Thessalonians were facing, is a little unusual to our ears. They had an idle problem. Not an IDOL problem, but an IDLE problem. Some brothers, some in the church, verse 6, were walking in idleness. They were, verse 10, not willing to work. They were, verse 11, not busy at work, but busy bodies. And by contrast, Paul was reminding them what he and his friends were like when they were in Thessalonica, when they were there sharing the gospel with them. Verse 7, they were not idle. Verse 8, they didn't eat anyone's bread without paying for it. They worked, verse 8 again, with toil and labour night and day. They weren't a burden. They had a right, verse 9, not to work, perhaps as they were guests among them, or perhaps due to Paul's role as an apostle, working as it were for God himself. But they didn't exercise those rights. Instead, they worked, verse 9, to give the Thessalonians an example to imitate. So what's with all this idleness? It's a little unclear, but there are two strong possibilities. Some in the church may have been so sure that Jesus' return was so imminent that they actually had downed tools and fallen into idleness. Another option, and one that I prefer, is that the early church had a habit of pooling their resources, of giving generously, of supporting each other, and perhaps some had slipped into the habit of not working, instead sponging off the generosity of others in the church. They were, as Paul alludes to, eating others' bread without paying for it. Whichever it was, the Thessalonian problem isn't really a problem that we share. Not many of us have downed tools due to the imminent return of Jesus. Neither is anyone here sponging off the generosity of others and just putting their feet up. So what does this bit of this letter have to teach us? Well, Paul certainly isn't laying down the Protestant work ethic or laying the foundation for the modern capitalist state, as some like to argue. He's also not saying anything about those who find themselves unemployed as we know it today, about those who are out of work and would dearly love to be in the workforce, about those who are being provided benefits to help them to get back to work. He's not saying anything about that. But he is saying something about work and working hard and working well. Verse 12 is key. We command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living, literally to eat your own bread. As we wait well for Jesus, all of us need to work quietly and earn our own living. We each need to be aware of our temptations to laziness and leisure. Let's also be aware of our temptations to workaholism and idolatry. Work quietly. Work well. Work like those disciples did. Imitate their toil and their labor while we wait for Jesus to return. And notice just how forceful the Apostle Paul is in these matters. Verse 14, if anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person, have nothing to do with them, that he may be ashamed. Don't regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. This stuff is important, friends. And so we ought to heed the command of Jesus' apostle. Work quietly, work well, work like the disciples did. And finally, a bit of a poke to all of us. Verse 13. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. There it is again. Weariness. While we wait for the return of Jesus, Paul doesn't want us to become weary. He doesn't just mean tired. He means weary in the sense of losing heart. And especially he doesn't want us to grow weary in doing good. See, God has called us in the gospel and he calls us to grow and to grow up and to live differently, to imitate the apostles, to imitate the Lord Jesus as we grow to be more and more like him. But we can grow weary of that. We can lose heart. And doing good in an evil world can make us feel uncomfortable and different. We can feel like we're standing out. Maybe a little bit weird. And sometimes we can actually watch others who seem to get away with murder. And we're tempted to drop our guard and live like we used to, not live like we've been called to. Weariness is a curse. And it can make us live in a way that doesn't bring honour to the Lord Jesus. It's weariness that tempts us to idleness. Weariness tempts us to be the same as the world around us. And so, friends, don't lose heart. Following Jesus means we are to wait in confidence and not grow weary, as he is faithful. And so when our faith wavers, and when we're weary, when we're tired, when doing good feels like a curse, not a blessing, friends, wait in confidence because Jesus is faithful. When we suffer, when we're maligned or persecuted or afflicted, friends, wait in confidence because Jesus is faithful. And when lawlessness reigns and when evil seems to triumph and when Satan deceives and when all seems lost and that not all have faith, wait in confidence. Jesus is faithful. Instead, remember that we're not alone. We're not alone. He is with us, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. And friends, he is with us all. And if he is with us all, then let us wait well. This little letter has taught us to do exactly that. 2 Thessalonians is a letter that's all about waiting. Paul wanted to help the Thessalonians and he wants to help us to wait well and to live in the light of the end that is coming. And as we've seen over these last few weeks, waiting is hard and waiting is messy and waiting is frustrating, especially when we're weary. So let's recommit ourselves to following Jesus and to waiting well in the light of the end. As we've seen in this letter together, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, our first week together, we saw that following Jesus means we are to wait with steadfastness while suffering as judgment is coming. And then last week in 2 Thessalonians 2, we saw that following Jesus means we are to wait for Jesus to be revealed, standing firm in the light of coming glory. And as we've seen today in 2 Thessalonians 3, following Jesus means we are to wait in confidence and not grow weary as he is faithful. So friends, let's close with how Paul closed his letter, verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you so much for the letter of 2 Thessalonians. We thank you for teaching us and growing us and challenging us and rebuking us and correcting us over these weeks together in this letter. Father, we pray that your word would indeed speed ahead and be honoured, and that it would be honoured in us as we grow in response to all that you have done for us. Father, in a world that we find ourselves in, surrounded by wicked and evil people, where not all have faith, keep reminding us that you are the faithful one, that you are the one who will establish us and guard us against all evil. Help us to have confidence in you. We pray that you would direct our hearts to your love and to the steadfastness of the Lord Jesus. Father, help us to work well, to work quietly, to earn our own living, and help us not to grow weary in doing good. Father, we're all tempted to lose heart. We're all tempted to pursue the things of this world, to the idols that are all around us. But help us not to grow weary. Instead, help us to wait for the Lord Jesus. Help us to wait in confidence, knowing that you are faithful. Our great God, we want to be a church that waits well for the Lord Jesus to return. And we pray that you would help us to wait well in the light of the end. In times of suffering, we pray that you would help us to wait with steadfastness, knowing that your judgment is coming. Help us to wait for the Lord Jesus to be revealed, standing firm in the light of coming glory. And Father, help us to follow the Lord Jesus and to wait in confidence, to not grow weary, knowing that you are faithful. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.